This is Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I am here today with our State Representative Mark Heiner for the 98th District. And as promised with our last interview, we are going to talk property taxes today. So welcome back, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
And thanks for coming back. This is a really big deal. We're going to spend some time on this today, and I'm sure we'll spend more time as we continue throughout, because this is not a discussion that is just going to stop being an issue. So let's start from the beginning.
Well, property taxes are the number one thing we hear about in my office. Everyone is frustrated with the constantly increasing valuations and taxes that go along with it. And they're begging for relief. And honestly, it's needed. It's gotten out of control. These property taxes are just climbing at an exponential rate. And if you are a senior on a fixed income, living on Social Security, the taxes are climbing faster than your benefits are. And you know, if you're old enough and you don't have the option of taking a part-time job, you're in a tough situation. So you know, no one should lose their home because you can't afford to pay your property taxes, but that can happen, and it does happen from time to time, and
we need to stop that.
Yeah, we're trying to find some solutions to this problem. Of course, it's not simple. If it was simple, it would have been solved years ago, and
it's just gotten worse as the years progressed.
Well, yeah, it does. COVID kind of put everything on steroids. It just changed a lot of things. It exacerbated the shortage of housing, which is driving the valuations up. That's a simple supply and demand problem. There aren't enough houses out there. So people are paying more for them than they probably should just to be able to get one. And it's going to take a long time to resolve that. A lot of houses being built, but they can't build them fast enough. We were behind before COVID, and COVID made it worse.
Because now you have supply shortages still that they're trying to recover from, and you got to get the labor force in there, which makes the trades even more important.
We got a shortage of tradesmen and women.
And so it's a whole big thing, but it's something that's really starting to come to head right now.
Yes. Yep. It sure is. And you know, we're trying to find solutions that don't destroy local governments and school districts and all those sorts of things. So we probably should explain a little bit about what property tax is and where it goes. So there is a constitutionally mandated portion of it. What's called inside millage is mandated in the Ohio Constitution. It is 1% of the value of your home that is collected. It's 10 mills. And it goes to local governments. Then, you know, there are other things added on there. You might vote for a school levy or a park levy or a library levy. Those are added on in addition to that. All that money stays local. None of that goes to the state. So every dime of the property tax you're paying stays in your local community. And for the most part, voters have say over that, because you can vote against these levies if you choose to. The challenge is in dealing with the increasing valuations. And, you know, we have tried to make some changes in the budget to help provide some help there. And we couldn't get a lot of them in. Not everyone was in agreement on how to do it. And of the things we did get in, the governor vetoed almost all of them. So there were three things that we attempted to override the governor's veto on, but we did not have enough support for two of them, so we only got one of them done. In the veto letter that we get from the governor, they number them. So item 66 was the one that we did get overridden, and basically all that did was kind of changed the way things are going to appear on your ballot. It limits the ability of school districts to do some things. It eliminates emergency levies. And a lot of people argue against that, but I live in the East Knox School District. We pay an emergency levy that was put in place roughly 10 years ago when the district was almost taken over by the state. We had such severe financial problems. In the meantime, the valuations have increased and what they collect increases, and they have a year and a half of their budget in the bank, but we're still paying an emergency levy. Part of that's a language thing. You can describe it better. So the name of that will change to fixed sum levy. And that's a better description of it. And
even because emergency makes people think it's dire and
right.
And
sometimes it is.
And sometimes it is. But when it continues to go on,
right.
It no longer is.
Right. Right. So,
or it shouldn't be, I would hope.
trying to clarify some of those things. And we earlier eliminated renewal levies, which the problem with those is it sounds like you're voting for the same thing you did the last time, but it can adjust upward and collect more than it did originally. And we felt that wasn't transparent enough, so we're limiting that ability. You will have to state exactly what you're going to collect. Item 66 had some language in it that prevents a school district from going onto the ballot with a new levy if they have over 100% of their budget in reserve in the bank. We just feel if you've got that much money on hand, you don't need to ask for more. There are school districts that will argue that that's not accurate, that they may need to still go onto the ballot for some reason. You know, that'll play out in the wash over time. But, you know, for now, we felt that that practice needed to stop. There was a district in the state just on the ballot with a levy request, and they have 300% of their budget in the bank.
Oh.
3 years worth. And they were asking for more.
Did it pass?
I don't think it did. It's not in this area. It's not in this area. It was up northern Ohio. But yeah, we feel that's there needs to be some transparency there.
For sure. So what are the other two that you were hoping to override but didn't?
So the other two were item 55, which gave the County Budget Commission expanded authority to reduce excessive collection. The Budget Commission, there's one in every county. It consists of the auditor, the treasurer, and the county prosecutor. And those three people, there's requirements. I think they have to meet twice a year. And there are things they need to look at and review. And there has always been an argument as to how much control they have over being able to make adjustments. This item clearly gave them the ability to reduce collection on a levy if they felt that it was excessive. Item 65 was the third one. And that changed the way the calculation was done in regards to the 20 mil floor. We need to back up and explain the 20 mil floor. All this is complicated.
We are getting the lesson today. That is for sure. I don't ever remember learning this in school, let me tell you.
No, and this is the simplified version. There's far more to it than this. I'm trying to keep it simple because it's difficult to explain on the radio. So the 20 mil floor was part of House Bill 920, which was enacted in 1976. And House Bill 920 was intended to make adjustments to collections and things on school levies to ensure that they didn't get out of control. The 20 mil floor was created to help districts in very poor, very rural districts that just could not pass levies. It guaranteed a 20 mils worth of funding, which is 2% of the value of a home. It guaranteed that they got that much money out of the property tax. At the time it was enacted, I think there were a fifth of the districts of the state that were part of that were, you know, enabled to collect that way. All these formulas that we create change over time. None of this is static. It all changes as time goes on. Well, in the meantime, we've had all these valuation increases and it makes the formulas not work correctly. So today, 2/3 of the school districts in the state are at the 20 mil floor. And that is a large reason why these tax increases are happening. So currently, any levies that you have for your school district are added to the 20 mil floor. Item 65 changed it so that they counted against it. So if you had additional levies, the 20 mils got subtracted from it instead of added to it. So that would have been a major reduction for most people. Governor vetoed it. We weren't able to override it, so.
What are your plans for the two items that you did not veto right away?
So the reason we tried to veto these three right now is financial items in the budget that are overridden don't take effect for 90 days until after the override. So in order for these things to affect tax bills in 2026, we needed to do them now. That's why we met special session to try to do this. We weren't able to do it. Now, we can override any veto anytime during the General Assembly. So the next year and a half, during the 136th General Assembly, we can override anything in his budget. There will be other things we will attempt to override. I don't know specifically what they all are, but there's conversations taking place right now about what that list will look like when we get to the fall. And these two items that we weren't able to get done right now may come back. Maybe with time, some members will change their minds on where they're at. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But, you know, this is an ongoing discussion. This is not, we're not done. This is not going to end. We have to find a solution to this problem. It is so complicated, and because everything you change has an unintended consequence. If you shift property tax to sales tax, that's great. You've reduced the property tax. But now when you've increased the sales tax, that has other consequences. That will deter business activity. If you live in a city, if you're in Cincinnati, and Kentucky's a short drive across the river, and they have a lower tax rate, people may cross the river to go make purchases. So then the tax revenue is moving to Kentucky instead of Ohio. So you have to consider all these things when you make these changes. And if this was simple, someone would have solved it years ago. It's an ongoing process. We'll continue to work on it. You know, the voters are truly frustrated. They are frustrated enough that there is a movement underway to try to abolish property taxes in the state of Ohio.
So I know I've heard of this movement, and the reason you guys are looking at all the solutions is because the movement to abolish property taxes just abolishes them. It has no solution on how to fund all the things that are paid for with property taxes, which then creates another problem.
Right. I spoke to one of the organizers because I'm curious about, you know, what their intention is, what they want to get out of this. And, you know, and I asked him, what would we need to do for you to not be interested in abolishing property tax entirely? And, you know, he said, we just need you to fix it. And that's the trouble. You know, everyone tells us to fix this, quote unquote. Somebody needs to figure this out. Somebody needs to come up with a solution to it. And we are trying, but there's 99 in the House, 33 in the Senate. Everybody's got a different idea. It's difficult to get consensus on these things. It is a difficult problem to tackle.
I was going to say, property taxes aren't just schools. Property taxes are your fire departments,
the county. Almost all your county services are funded through property tax.
Townships.
The townships are entirely funded through inside millage, which if that's taken away, township funding will be gone.
And that's all. And townships actually have the most miles of roadway that they take care of versus county and state, and the least amount of money to do it.
Right.
Correct. That's why township roads generally are the way they are, because they're doing what they can with what they got.
Elected township officials are miracle workers because they get a lot of work done with not a lot of money.
Exactly. So a lot of the focus is on the schools, but there's so much more as to why we need to fix this without just abolishing it straight up.
It's parks, it's libraries, it's DD board. There's a lot of stuff in there. The veterans, your local veterans office is funded through the inside millage.
That's a new one that I did not know.
Yep.
I'm trying to learn too about all this so I can have these conversations. And like I said, it's not anything we learned in school, at least not when I was in school.
Right.
And so it's a lot to take in, but
it's not, a lot of folks don't understand where these taxes go. They, you know, they're paying all of them. They're frustrated and they want it reduced. And I do too.
I agree. I want it reduced, but I understand.
Right. My property taxes shot through the roof on the home that we live in. And I would love to see it reduced. But I don't want our school district destroyed. And I want to be able to call the fire department and know that they will be able to show up if I need them. So we have to find balance in all these things. Personally, I think there's a lot of things we can do to make things more efficient and more cost effective. But it takes time to get everybody on the same page with that. The concern I have with outright abolishing property tax is it would be a constitutional amendment, which means it can't be changed by the legislature. It can only be changed by the voters. So if I'm not going to tell the voters how to vote on it, but I want to make sure they understand what they're voting for and what could happen if they vote for it.
That's what I'm trying to do as well.
So I am talking with the commissioners in all of my counties, the city folks, every elected official that I can find. I'm asking them to make sure to explain to everyone that this is how this works. If we vote to abolish this, these are the things that will happen. These are the services that will go away. And if that's what the voters want, that's fine. I'm all on board with it. But I'm concerned that they don't understand what could disappear, and they'll regret their vote afterwards. And then at that point, then we have a funding problem. Because the property tax in Ohio generates $22 billion worth of revenue. 16 of that is residential, 6 is commercial. The Ohio General Revenue Fund is $30 billion. So I've had folks say, well, you'll just need to take it out of the General Revenue Fund. Well, we would have to cut 2/3 of what's in the General Revenue Fund to get rid of enough to be able to cover everything paid for with property tax. And that's not realistic. So,
and you have mandatory things you have to cover, yes, out of the General Revenue Fund. And some of it is elective things that you guys choose to pay for to make Ohio a better place. But there are some mandatory things. And so anything extra would be gone.
Yes.
So it's definitely a lot to process and think about. It's going to take a lot of teamwork to come up with a solution.
Yes.
And that's probably how we got here to begin with, is there wasn't enough teamwork.
Well, and and you're absolutely right with that. And the solution will come when we all get together and have a honest conversation about things. And it's difficult because everybody, I expect the libraries to defend the library system. I expect the school district to defend the school system. As a legislator, I'm going to do my best to defend the taxpayers because that's who I answer to. And, we've all got our constituencies that we're trying to serve, but there's going to have to be give and take. We're all going to have to give some things up in order to get a solution to it. And, I want everybody to understand, I'm taking this very seriously. I honestly believe that this abolish movement will get the signatures they need. And I think it will be on the ballot. I think it will not be this November.
This is not a this November thing.
They fell short of the deadline for this year. I think they will be on next November. And I think if it gets on the ballot, I think it'll pass. And I think it'll be by a wide margin.
If we were to take a survey today on if it would pass then, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But we have time for folks to learn what is all on there. And the first place to start is to go to your county auditor page and pull up your property, mm-hmm, and look. I have 31 different levies on my property taxes.
Do you really?
31.
Wow.
I counted them the other day.
Yeah.
So that's the first place to go. Look at what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Now, if you abolish that, they don't get that money anymore.
Right. And your tax bill will have a breakout on it of where that money goes. And about 60 to 65% of it is school districts.
Correct.
They are a huge portion of it. That's a lot of it. It's a big component of it. There are some districts that have plenty of money. There are others that are struggling.
There are some that are struggling.
I've got two school districts in my house district that have got plenty of money on hand. I've got one that's getting their budget cut by $3 million over the next couple of years, and they don't have a lot of money on hand. So, and they have some building needs that they need to address. So the Ohio Constitution requires uniformity. We cannot create a law that only applies to one county or one school district. Everything has to apply evenly across the state to everyone, as it should be. But the problem is, every school district is different. Every county is different. Every library is different. Every fire department is different. It is very difficult.
Ohio is very diverse in the way it's set up. There's rural.
Well, no, you just look at the difference
cities
between Franklin County and Holmes County.
It's a world.
Serious differences in population. The demographics are very different. It's two different worlds, but yet we as a legislature have to find solutions that apply equally to both of those. And a lot of times it's very difficult to do.
This is where when your algebra teacher tells you that you're going to use algebra as an adult, this is where that comes in at.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of mathing. It's a lot of looking at the needs of everybody. And you guys got a big task on your hands, but it's important that you really dive down into this.
No, it is. It is. And I've met with our policy team with a concept of trying to shift some of the property tax burden to sales tax, which is fine. It solves one problem, but it creates another. And they told me, they said, it's a good concept. We'll help you put it all together. But, understand that historically in the past, people have tried to do this before, and it's difficult to get people to agree to raise sales tax.
There are a few states that don't have property taxes. There's not many.
No, actually, all states have a property tax as of today.
Oh, I thought there were a couple that didn't.
No, there are some states that don't have income tax.
Okay, I had them mixed up.
As of today, everyone has a property tax. Michigan and North Dakota both have movements trying to eliminate theirs. And I just saw a post from Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, that he's making a push to abolish them nationwide, which is fantastic in Florida because they've got a huge tourism industry that brings all kinds of money into Florida from outside of Florida. We don't have that in Ohio. We have it here in Holmes County, but we don't have it statewide like they do in Florida. So it's a problem. I don't know how we solve it, but we will work on it.
And even the sales tax in different states vary. I know in some states you pay tax on all the things you buy, whether it's food or not.
Right.
Here in Ohio, we thankfully do not have to buy
or
pay sales tax on food.
Right.
But that could change.
It sure could.
If we don't figure out the property tax portion of it.
Right. Right. At the end of the day, if you want all these services, we have to pay for them somehow. The money has to come from somewhere. And what I don't want to do is take the money out of a different pocket from the taxpayer.
Rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, we need to find places we can reduce spending. I've argued all along, we don't have a taxation problem, we have a spending problem. I'd like to see us spend less money, then we wouldn't need as much tax. That's a very simplistic view, I understand, but for me, that's the answer.
Let's focus on one problem at a time.
Well. No, but if we abolish property tax, we will have to make severe cuts in spending all over the place. Other states do things differently than we do. Some states don't have townships. Some states have countywide school districts. That changes. If we have to go down those avenues, those are massive changes that most people don't want. Most people like their townships. They do a great job. Most people like the fact that their school districts are local. And they've got more control because they're local to their immediate community. But
where my family lives, they're countywide districts.
Yeah.
They're in a different state.
I know Kentucky and Florida both do that.
North Carolina.
My office is looking into some of those things, trying to figure out how they're doing it, see if there's, another way for us to do things here.
Well, but lately in Ohio, so many districts have been building new schools.
Right.
To do that, then you now have all these buildings that are still being paid for.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother problem.
Yeah. Yep. No, it sure is. And the reality is, you'll get people, when John Kasich was governor, he pushed to eliminate townships. The reality is, at the end of the day, the roads still need repaired. They need plowed in the wintertime.
People got to get to their houses and the businesses.
Someone's got to do it. If the township's not doing it, it will fall to the county.
Counties are tight with their crews.
So it'll add expense at the county level. They may not be as responsive because they just will not be able to get everywhere as fast. So,
and here in Holmes County, we have a great set of county
we do.
People who take care of our roads. We have the best looking roads. They take care of them in the winter. We're very blessed here when it comes to our county roads.
I met a gentleman up in Wayne County the other day. He says, you know how you can tell when you leave Holmes County and enter Wayne? The road goes down the tubes.
I wasn't going to say anything like that.
Well, I don't represent Wayne County, so I can make fun of them.
But, you know, and you can tell any county, once you leave Holmes County, you know.
Yeah. No, our engineer's office does a fantastic job, and our townships do a great job. And
yes, Holmes County is well taken care of.
Roads here are in very good shape.
So it's going to take a lot of talking, a lot of work. If people have questions, they can reach out to your office.
Absolutely. Yep. Please reach out. And if you have a solution to the problem,
if you are a mathy type,
we would love to hear from you. Yeah, the number at my office is 614-466-2994. Or you can email to rep98@ohiohouse.gov. And, you know, we're happy to answer any questions. And if we need to meet with you, we'll be happy to do that too.
And we're going to keep talking property taxes. This isn't the only conversation we're going to have on this. We're hoping to help educate and get the information out so everybody understands what you guys are trying to do, what's going on and what's happening. And I think you'll be at the Holmes County Fair, whereas people will be able to ask you questions as well.
I don't know yet how much I'll be there, but I will get there as much as I can. You know, we are on break right now, but I'm still working. So I've got a lot of stuff going on. We're meeting with people and trying to find solutions to some of these problems. So, you know, I'm not sitting on my hands this summer doing nothing. I'm still working, but I will get to the fair as much as I can.
And they see you, they can, you know, hey.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's another opportunity if you have questions, but you're not sure how to type it out or you don't like, a lot of generations don't like to call.
Right. Yep.
Is there anything else we need to bring up here while we're chatting this time?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this is our first property tax education course with Mark and Melissa.
That's probably a good way to describe it.
I think I'm going to title that.
hopefully there will be many more to come.
For sure. We're here to help share information and get it out. So thank you so much for coming in and explaining all this for anybody who wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
That was Mark Heiner, our state representative here for Holmes County, and it's the 98th district in the state of Ohio. And for WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick.